right, nice.
Not too bad.
Awesome. So it's Thursday once again here in the chilly, chilly world of Oakland where everything is way too cold. I'm Jan.
It's not that cold.
Shut up. I don't have heat in my building where I work all day. And the wind just blows through.
That means we'll talk later about that.
Outside all day yesterday. Yeah. Anyway.
We have a wind tunnel.
Yeah, we'll talk later about harder. Your gripes. I'm Scott.
And I'm Ryan, the doc who's not cold in the corner.
Nice. I'm the resident manager, my resident guest.
Manager? What are we like, what are we in sorry, college I got again?
Cross my wires right. in my head.
Yeah, it's managing or binging. It's
yeah.
fine.
Fair enough. Well, thanks for coming back again. Tonight we're... Oh, thanks for taking that shot without us, Ryan.
Cheers. Cheers.
Ryan. I mean, he was sitting for a while.
Ryan had a production meeting by himself, and so he was stressed, so he had to take good. A shot.
Tonight we're drinking a Smooth Ambler Contradiction Bourbon.
That's nice.
It's pretty strong.
Pretty good. Is ambling smoothly? Is that why it's a contradiction?
I don't know. There's a picture of an elephant on a barrel.
I don't know. I feel like I've seen some drunk-ass motherfuckers ambling.
Yeah.
Kind of smoothly.
In any case, this was another recommendation from Amon down at Rancho down in El Sobrante.
El Sobrante.
Or as they say it out there, El Sobrani.
El Sobrani. Mm. I like that. I respect that.
I mean, yeah. I hate to say it. I'm going to say it anyway, but I do hate saying it. Because there's no proper way to phrase it, but white people fuck up the name of Latin-named areas in California real bad. Los Gatos.
Ooh, I love Los Gatos.
Gatos.
That was no, this was Gatos.
One of the worst ones, yeah.
Look at it. El Sobrani. No, it's El Sobrante. Like, come on.
It's El Sobrani.
La Misión.
I don't even know what that is.
La Mission.
Oh. there's an English word, mission.
La Bano? Por favor?
Oh, no.
Los Banos?
No.
That's what I say,
Los Banos.
Like, my Spanish is so bad that I asked for the La Bano. Except I always felt like I could survive. Like, in the desert, it's real bad, right? And I could just, like, anything, like, what I need most in my life.
Oh, wow.
I'm in the fucking desert. It's bad. And I'm real fucking, like, I'm in a bad state and somebody comes up on me. I'm in Mexico deep. Necesito cerveza. And I feel like I can survive.
That's better than El Sobrani. I'll tell you
that. I want to find something in Spanish.
See, the problem is, like, all right, so, you know, keep looking. When it comes to, like, and I'm really fucking shy about this with Spanish, of, like, trying to say it with the proper affectation, right? Because I feel like it's going to sound like I'm fucking faking it.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, you know, you just go into a taqueria and you go, pollo. Like, I feel like I'm faking it. And then you can tell that I'm faking it.
And then
it.
The cashier still talks to you in English?
Yeah. And so, like, I've lived my life of just, like, what happens if I just go into these places and I'm just, like, a telenovela? Because that is what I want to do. That's what I hear in my, pollo, carne asada. Like, that's what I want to ask for. But it's just, like, you can't do that either. Because I feel like, it's clear that I'm fucking uncomfortable with actually trying to do the right affectation on the words. You know what I mean?
You get better, though. You gotta just whip it out. Don't be a jerk about it. Don't wave your arms. I just want a taco.
I just want a taco.
Carne asada. Just keep it, just, you know, just a list. It's a playlist of what you want on your plate.
Can I have three tacos? Tres tacos.
Yeah.
Carne asada.
Yeah.
El pastor.
Yeah.
And some pollo.
Let's go through the list right now. It's al pastor.
Al. Pastor.
Not El Pastor.
That's the one with the pineapple.
Yeah, the piña. It's called the piña, the pineapple. But the one that looks, it's called a trompo.
Dude.
When it's vertical. And they do the slices vertically going down.
Dude, it's my fucking
rotates.
Shit. El Pastor is my shit.
I'm gonna say something that may be controversial. I think I know the best Mexican restaurant in Oakland.
Where?
It's called El Paisa.
I knew what guy
this thing called Paisa is.
Because everyone thinks they know the best spot, and I trust you more than most people, because everybody's just like, oh, I know the fucking, I know the spot.
I would love to try
it. We are going to go on a field trip, and this is what was great about it, was that this is why you need to trust it, okay? Mm-hmm. Number one, our lead contractor, handyman guy, goes there. But also, I went there the second time with our pest control guy, and he's like, this place is legit. I'm like, oh, really? He's like, yeah. He's like, you can eat here, but don't eat at the Taco Bell half a mile down on International. Don't go there. Or the restaurant across. He's like, El Paso, you're cool. So I go, I show up, I go, I went alone. My coworkers recommended it. And I go in, I order, it just smells amazing. Mm-hmm. The layout is great. They're quick. And so I go to wait. I'm holding my receipt. I'm standing there for like 5 minutes. I'm like, I see the guys working. I'm like, well, this looks like some good shit. It might take a minute. I go use the restroom. I come back. And one of the guys just whistles him. He's like, hey, hey. And he's waving at me. And I'm like, numero 20, numero 20. And he's like, come here. I was like, numero 20. And then I'm like, okay, maybe he wants to know what I ordered. I'm like, burrito al pastor. He's like, come here. So he's like, give me the ticket. So I give him the ticket. At this place, they don't start until you give them the receipt. So it's like five guys always working concurrently.
They're just
like
pacing, little, waiting for your number to be called.
And so when you pay, you're supposed to walk up to whoever's available and give them the receipt and then tell them how you want what you ordered. Ooh. So they just look at it. They're like, all right, you ordered a burrito. How do you want it? And I'm like, with everything. Just put everything.
Con todo.
Con todo. There you go. Con todo. We can practice.
That's all. What is that?
Con todo.
Con todo.
That means corn tostada.
Con todo. Don't say con todo.
And then he puts it all together. It comes with three roasted onions.
Oh.
Mm. Two slices of cactus, nopal. Just in the plate with chips, three different types of salsa, and the big-ass giant burrito with everything. And it was the best.
No, but where is it?
It's on Bancroft. And near Bancroft and Seminary-ish.
Okay. Now, have you?
It's not that far.
I want an evaluation of Tacos El Gordo.
That place is good.
So the only reason I bring this up is I've talked to a couple of the owners of other trucks and restaurants who have come into my shop.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, so you know, tell me about your place. I want to go there. They're like, oh yeah, it's pretty good. And then they ask me what my favorite place is, and I say Tacos El Gordo, and they go, that's where we eat when we close.
Yeah, fair enough. It's a good place.
That's where the other trucks go after they've closed.
Now, there's a place I was working with Superfan Cheeto up off of International, and I don't remember where it was, but he said, we're close to this taco truck. And he was like, it's absolutely the best taco truck in all of Oakland, Superfan Cheeto. And the common vernacular for this taco truck is Goodwill Taco, because it's in the parking lot of this Goodwill on International, and I can't remember what street it is.
I've been there. It's all right.
I thought it was the best store I've ever had.
Aguachiles.
Yes.
That place is good. I mean, it's all right.
He took me there at one point.
We might have been there.
I feel like it's the best pastor taco I've ever had.
One of those El Cerrito nights.
And they have two trucks in the Goodwill parking lot. Yeah. Because
one, well, one is like, one is like a, it's just like a store. I think it's just for supplies now. But the truck is there. Aguachiles El Tamarindo. It's on International Fruitvale.
Yeah.
They have, for Superfan Cheeto, I don't know who that is, but for Superfan Cheeto, they sell a super burrito made out of Cheetos, or with Cheetos in it.
Oh, well.
Now this place is changing up the game. They also made a Hennessy infused tiramisu. They also have hot Cheeto ramen.
They're trying to appeal to the people.
Community. They know what the fuck they're doing. They're smart.
Okay.
Right, no,
we're gonna fucking field trip day, breakfast, lunch, dinner.
No, I feel like I got it. Like, this is awesome, but I feel like it wasn't on Fruitvale. That was further fucking. Like, it was more towards. It doesn't even matter.
Well, no, that's not on Fruit. It's on International. But no, that has to be it. It's right next to a Goodwill. They're like burned down or some shit.
Well, there was another one around the corner from that there's the one that's in the Mexican restaurant, or in the parking lot of the Mexican restaurant, and it's not the same. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah, and it's right on 14th Street. As you, there's an overpass right here, and so you get the brick and mortar, and then the truck is in the parking lot.
Yeah,
there's a gas station across the street.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That place.
We'll go there too.
Their super burrito is as big as my bicep. Than my forearm.
I just want street tacos. I go to a fucking taqueria. I just want.
Those make me hungry. Yeah.
Tacos. That's what I want. Like a burrito. Like, I'm not interested in burritos too. Like, I want. Six tacos, please.
I got two more great recommendations. Okay. One is Tacos El Último Baile, which is usually posts up on Grand near Lake Merritt, right next to Lake Merritt, where those trees are at.
Okay.
And they have something called a vampiro, which is becoming very popular.
And it's a vampire taco.
Birria, you guys know what birria is? So birria is like has become the thing now.
Well,
like
no, the quesadillas? I'm sorry, no, they do, but what is that?
Birria is like a stewed, traditionally stewed goat meat, but you can make it out of beef.
Okay.
And it tastes fucking amazing.
Okay.
They're making everything with it now. But now, vampiro is like, I think it comes from Mexico City, but basically it's like a taco, a regular taco, but you add some fried cheese in there with it, and then you... Some of them fold it, and then you like,
and then crisp it up on the outside. Yeah,
yeah, it's fucking good too.
The little taqueria like next door to my house.
I feel like they learned that from Jack in the Box. Like you put some fried elements into it.
Yeah.
Like I'm pretty sure they picked that up. Yeah.
And then Senor Sisig, have you guys ever heard? That's a staple.
Fuck that place.
What?
I used to share a kitchen with them. Do not eat there unless you want to die.
I don't know.
Well, that seems like a bold statement. Why?
I'll ask my pest control guy.
They literally leave their chicken out overnight just on the counter.
No, that makes it better.
No, it's just
I'm pretty sure that's how you prepare chicken.
A breeding ground for bacteria. It's disgusting. You and they don't clean shit.
Well, guess what? I order all their vegan shit. Oh, that's fine. There you go.
Also, the people who work there also
they contaminate the shit with their fucking...
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
It's like very nice. The fucking moldy chicken and then cut up some fucking carrots.
But I shared a kitchen with them when they
it's
used to...
It's called brining.
No. They rented the kitchen that I ran my pop-up out of. And,
See, but this is why I love the Bay, because it's all... So it's Filipino and, like, Latin Mexican fusion. Yeah. And then there's Chingones Chicken, which works out of Fort Greene, which used to be... Like Go Bar, I know I've been there with Ryan, in downtown Oakland, and Chris Lopez.
Wait,
I know that. Yeah. I know that place. Fort Greene.
Chingones, so now Chingones Chicken is like a pop up inside that's permanently there.
Ah.
And their whole thing is basically Mexican food, but they substitute fried chicken for a bunch of shit.
Dope.
Oh. And it's fucking good ass fried chicken. So you want tacos, fried chicken, burrito, fried burrito with fried chicken is just
yes.
Oh, dude, I'm in.
Also, this
bar and this bar. Do they still have the shuffleboard table in the bar?
Yeah, and the bar has great mezcal.
Okay, I mean that's fucking dope. You got a shuffleboard and fucking fried chicken mixed in all your taqueria favorites.
Like, couple doors down from the alley, that place.
No. It's over by... It's actually by the fucking...
That's a different goat. That's Grand Oaks Restaurant.
By the Envision fucking headquarters. It's over there. It's that part
of... Oh, by Myrtle and all that shit.
Yeah. It's up there. Now,
Have any of you guys actually had...
Yeah. Fort Greene. Yeah.
Sort of that direction.
It's over there. It's not by Grand Lake.
It's not by Grand Lake.
It's over there, that part of Oakland. What were you going to say?
Have you guys actually had real, true sisig? Sisig?
I don't know what that is.
That's Filipino.
It's Filipino food. It's basically like the weirdest end cuts of pork, like cooked up and then heated up with some onions on a sizzling iron platter and they with garlic and then they crack an egg over it and mix that up and then you just... Eat that.
I mean, I'm all in, but no, I haven't had that.
With garlic rice.
That's called seasick?
Seasig.
Seasick.
Sure.
When I
am I saying that right?
The grandma say seasick.
Yeah. Give me some of that seasick. That sounds good.
It is delicious. Okay. I know this place that out in Daly City where we can go and like...
Of course.
You got to eat...
Daly City.
Where the sun has never shone once. Ever.
But you got to eat the Filipino food the way they do it.
Is that Lucky's?
No, it's called...
You know, I don't know, it's a real place. The casino. Yeah. And they have a restaurant called Lucky Chances.
Lucky Chances.
And the whole menu is fucking Filipino food.
Yep, Lucky Chances.
You're talking about the grocery store.
No.
There's a Lucky's there?
No, yeah. Lucky Chances.
Where you're
going. So it's down the street from there. But what they do is they just cover your table with, like, banana leaves. And then... They dump all your food in the middle, and you just go at it with your hands.
And you just go fucking seasick crazy.
I don't think it's open anymore.
But we got to do it.
Seems like that place failed as soon as the world shut down.
I don't know about that place. I'm just like, I don't trust everybody to fucking really get up underneath their nails and stuff, and fucking actually, if you know you're going to be eating with your hands,
get some gloves. Give people gloves.
Poisoned. Hardcore because of that kind of shit.
So Ethiopian food is not...
I was going to bring that up.
Your milieu these days.
I like the food.
No, but I mean these days, you go to an Ethiopian restaurant, you're not...
He brings blue painter's tape and he sections off his corner of the table. He's like, this is my shit. Nobody touch it. And what's
up? Yeah, just don't put your fucking hands in it. If you're going to be eating food that is like hand serve, don't take any of it home. You're just giving that shit an incubation period.
First of all, who are you eating with? Press and Company, I'm there. Nothing's going home.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
My favorite thing about Ethiopian food is that the serving platter is also your plate.
Yeah.
And your utensils.
What is
that? Dude, Ethiopian food, I can't remember what it's called, but goddamn, that shit wine. Fucking lights me up.
And they serve that honey wine. Which
oh
is
my god,
so
I love
like
it.
That, the injera? That,
there's a place
and then
in
you
like,
get that platter that's got
the
fucking
edge
egg.
Of Berkeley.
Just the
Blue something?
Blue Nile?
Blue Nile.
Yeah,
cool. I've never been there, but like I know a ton of folks have gone there, and it's been fantastic.
There's a great Ethiopian place on Grand,
in Sara.
Right by the theater, where like you're getting on 580. It's like around the corner,
isn't
right
it
there.
In Sara or something?
Something like that. Yeah. And there's like a yoga place upstairs.
Yeah,
that shit is fucking awesome. Great it's Ethiopian
a yoga
restaurant.
Place or a nail shop above. Every fucking fantastic fucking restaurant that has something above it.
Truth.
To get the flavor.
Ah, that's
or
the shit,
if it's really good food on top, usually sushi, then there's like a fucking sushi. Office
T-Mobile.
Copy Mart, T-Mobile Verizon store, some bullshit below it. But like, you've been going to that store for so long, and then you just look up one day and like, maybe I should eat that. How do I get up there? Obscure door to your right.
No markings, just some numbers.
Right. Oh, I go through the fire exit. That's how I get to
Dude,
this
there's,
restaurant.
There's this place in Alameda on Park Street that's like that. They have 8 chairs.
Nice.
It is the... Like, I went there once for my 21st birthday.
How's their seasick?
They don't make... It's the sushi. It's sushi.
Oh, it's sushi. It's the sushi place. Got it.
While I was there... There was one couple, one other dude, dad and myself.
I'm the white guy. I'm going to ask these questions.
So. And
you understand Japanese people, though, right?
Yeah, absolutely. No, but the Japanese, he spoke English, so I did understand him. He's like, this is my favorite place in the world to eat sushi.
Wow.
And I was like, wait, what? He goes, yeah, like, I live in Japan. There are some really good places, but this is my favorite place in the world to eat sushi. It was friggin' amazing. I don't know that it's better than, like, Jiro, but, like, because I ain't never been to Jiro. But
overrated.
It was pretty good.
Let's
you
actually talk about that, though. Because
no, I was going to say that.
Did you have anything that was eel? Like, you have any unagi or, like, a dragon roll or anything like that?
I hadn't. You do not have rolls in a place like this.
Really?
No.
It's all sashimi.
It's all
Japanese
nigiri.
Food.
Nigiri.
What is nigiri? Okay.
That's the little piece with the rice.
Yeah, watch your tongue on that one, huh?
It's basically if you unroll the roll.
I almost need your reaction, actually said it to you.
Almost had you on tape too.
I'm doing it. So you go there to get niggery stuff. That's what Ryan wanted me to say. And now I feel like actually, like I feel sick right now. Like I might have a fever.
I don't know. You got a big smile on your face, guy. You're real happy.
I mean, I can redact that if you'd like.
Redact just when you said
you
it.
Just
okay,
mispronounced niggery.
So
white like guy.
So the nigiri,
it's the piece of rice with the slice of fish over it,
and then one little seaweed band to hold it together.
No band.
It depends on what it, like.
Oh,
maybe there are some things that might have it, but it's usually just fish.
But did you get anything with the eel sauce? Because eels, when I go to sushi places, anything that's got the eel sauce on it, on top of eel, that's my shit. Like anything unagi is
eel,
my jam.
The unagi had unagi sauce on it, but every fish had its own sauce.
Where's this?
It's in Alameda on Park.
There are
Let's
8 chairs.
Fucking go.
And
it's...
And like, after $200, I had to go...
Okay, I'll go on my birthday.
...to a noodle place.
The ramen, there's a really good ramen place right down the street, probably. There's one on Park. A bomb, amazing, legit ramen spot.
I'll check it out.
Who are you?
I'll check it out.
Who are you?
Who is this person?
You're Hillary Banks.
Hillary Banks?
Hillary Banks with
so
a nutshell.
I gotta take it back to
reality.
Mexican food. Or Latino food.
Yeah.
Like it's not all Mexican.
It's Latinx.
Deshebrada.
Yeah.
That is my shit.
What
like,
is deshebrada?
Shredded beef.
Oh. Okay.
But it's...
Okay.
I don't know what the process is, like how it's slow cooked and what it's slow cooked with to get to the point that it's shredded and then put into shit. But not enough places provide it. And whenever I have it, it's so good that I become a snob about it.
Okay.
It's like horchata for me, because I'm an horchata snob. Like, I will tell you a place that has bad horchata. Like, don't get the horchata from them, because that shit is just fucking cinnamon.
I stopped ordering that, because it's the variance is too great.
Fucked up horchata. I gotta get it just so I know.
You know what my problem with horchata is?
The pronunciation of the shit?
Well, there's that. But then also,
it's horchata.
It makes me feel like I'm drinking Sobe. You remember how Sobe, like it looked like it wanted to be milk, but it wasn't milk, but it was just like this watery milk? That's the way I feel about horchata.
You went to a bad place.
So that's the thing. There are places.
No.
You're an accent start to come out. There are places where the horchata is actually thicker.
No, it's not that it wasn't good when I've had it. I think it's fucking delicious, but it reminds me of Sobe every time.
Dude, if Sobe tasted like that, I would have drank more.
Also, I walked away from the table. Pronounce that meat again that you love so much.
Desabrada.
And see, when I was over across the house, I was like, that's why I can't speak Spanish, because I don't want to roll my tongue like that, because I feel like I'm going to do it wrong. Yeah. Hey, can I get some of that desperado with some horchata?
Okay, well, I think we should do that, yeah.
I'm looking to get me some desperado with some horchata.
Right, can I get some desperado with horse to drink?
Some talkative horse, preferably.
Give me some of that good Sobe you got in that big tank.
Alright, so I need to know more about the best places to get the weird crap that I like. I like all the weird, I like all the weird meats that you get at the
7-Eleven has these awesome fucking buffalo chicken
rolls. The boneless wings on a skewer.
That's a weird
random meat bits, dude. But it's hella good.
It's hella good. But those buffalo chicken rollers are the fucking shit.
7-Eleven.
All right, so you want to talk about weird food? That shit is way better than it should be.
I like buche.
Yeah.
I don't even really know what it is. I think it's like diaphragm meat or like the lining.
I don't know. To be honest, I don't know. But it looks like
it's hella good. Suadero.
Is that how you eat all the... Yeah.
I eat only the weird shit.
These actually aren't that weird. There's no way you can get it sold.
Dog food aisle at Safeway.
No, Suadero's brisket.
It's all the byproducts.
Suadero's brisket.
Yeah.
It's hella good.
I feel like there's but Suadero also has
it has more fat cap on it.
What they call cueritos, which is fat.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to describe it.
Or tendon or connective tissue.
There's definitely a lot of grease on that motherfucker.
Yeah, I love that shit.
Like I would be into that shit. Like the sinewy things or the weird parts that come off the body. What fucking freaks me out more than anything else is tripe.
Oh, that's my favorite.
I was going to say tripas first, but I was like, fuck.
Yeah, you would have beat me to that, but the fucking tripe. Like, the first time that I had a bowl of menudo, I was like, somebody put an Eggo waffle in here and forgot to cook it. Like, tripe visually freaks me the fuck out, and I can't even... I put it in my mouth, and it looks fucking gross, and then on my tongue, menudo fucking gross is my world. I fucking hate it.
Menudo is... the best.
Those are really good hangover cures.
I feel like pozole for me is that fucking hangover cure, because it doesn't also have a weird waffle.
It's intestinal lining.
It just looks like a fucking weird waffle. Yeah. Like it's in this cube core.
It's like Honeycrisp, but in red milk.
Because I love that. Like
honeycombs in red milk.
And I've heard that told to me that it's like but I'm just like, if I have a super hangover, I'm fucking drunk as shit, and I have the choice between pozole, which is just like all these hominy fucking marbles, and then the meat, and it's fucking amazing, or I have this weird fucking slimy waffle. I'm always going for the hominy balls and shit.
Have you had it where it's like one big chunk?
No, but I've had littler strips in it, but it's still just tripe fucking grosses me out.
That's fair.
And I grew up eating chitlins. Like, I'm not opposed to intestines.
Never had
intestines. So you like lower intestines. Yes. You like lower, not the upper intestine.
I've eaten chitlins, and it's like the most delectable part of the fucking pig. It is fucking amazing.
Shake with fear. Doesn't matter. I've never had chitlins. As a black person, I've never had chitlins. I walked in her kitchen one time when chitlins were being made. I was like, fuck you. I will never eat that.
What's funny about chitlins? You don't want to smell it being cooked.
Yeah, I was about to say, what's funny about chitlins is when somebody's cooking chitlins, you smell it from a block and a half away.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
And it's like, it's kind of nice. At first, when you first whiff it, it's kind of sweet. And then you get a little char, and then it's like, just shit.
No, it's good.
It's like spitty shit.
And that's why hot, I would have thought. Shit. That's why I would have thought that tripe wouldn't have grossed me out, but I just couldn't do it.
Let's practice. It's tripas.
If instead of saying tripe, I said tripas.
I was going to say tripas.
But I also just sounded like a fucking phony in my own
head. If you ordered that at the restaurant, they'd be like, all right, cool, let's do it.
Yeah, but I don't. Also, then I would send it back and be like, this isn't what I want.
I just wanted to practice saying that.
You want to get tripas on Sunday at 11:45.
Is it still going to look gross?
It'll still look gross.
It'll super be slimy in my mouth when I put it in there?
No, it will melt in your mouth like butter because it's been hanging around because they start making it early and they stop serving it at noon. So you get the last of the batch where it's basically been kept at 180 degrees long enough that all of that shit has started to break down.
Or you get it into your taco at like 3 in the morning from Tacos El Gordo and it gets a little crispy edges.
I wouldn't go to Tacos El Gordo at 3 in the morning.
It's the best time to go.
Yeah, that's when they get robbed.
Oh. And then you get robbed with them.
Yeah, you get robbed with them.
How do you feel about lengua?
What's that? Tongue.
Beef tongue.
I've had it. It's great.
Lengua's good. Ruck cabeza.
Okay, like, I'm not fidgety about fucking meat.
No, I'm just curious. I'm not saying anything.
Tripe is what freaked me out the most because the visual. I'm sorry. Tripas.
It's really it's good.
It just, like, I just couldn't. And particularly, like, super fucking hungover, that's not what I want to look at or what I want to put in my face. I mean,
it's kind of like, to me, it's kind of like,
Chef solving Boyardee. A puzzle.
Because the sauce, because if you get it with the right sauce, where the sauce has some body to it, it's kind of thick, but it's still very watery, but like, you know.
It's funny. Sometimes I try to like fill the little like honeycomb gaps. I don't know what the fuck to call them. The little you like and fill it and then you put it in your mouth. So and you're like play with it. I'll put an onion in this one.
I know, and that's what you said sounds fun, but it made me want, like I bumped in my mouth a little bit just then when you were describing
the like the oregano, like the chilies, the fucking onions. You take 50% of everything and you just put it in your bowl immediately.
And y'all who love it, you love the flavor, but you have to admit, you're looking at a bowl, and it's fucking gross.
The
right?
first time was for sure.
Right, like it's the like first it's, time was it's weird, disturbing. But when I was looking at it, like what the fuck am I doing?
Extremely hungover, which was probably the gateway to make it great. Which is why I was so hungover. I'm like, why do you want me to eat this? Ah, oh, my head hurts. I'm gonna eat it.
No, I've been.
I was like, oh my god. And now when I see it, I think relief.
I'm the antithesis to that.
I can eat the shit without putting anything in it.
I was hella hungover, and I was like, fuck you. Fuck you. I'm not putting that in my face.
What about pho? Pho.
I mean, like,
pho. But pho can also come with some pretty, like...
it can come with some weird shit.
What about the... Okay, so you don't like the honeycomb trap. What about the book trap? The one that looks like...
That's what they serve in pho, right?
No, they serve both.
Oh, they do? Okay. Yeah. I've seen the... What'd you call it? The
book tripe is the one that looks like a bunch of pages. They're like, we'll have to pull up some pictures.
But instead of a honeycomb, it looks like
a fan out.
I'm in.
Yeah, it looks almost like a weird tentacly.
I think I've had that one.
Calamari thing too.
Yeah,
I'm in.
Yeah,
I'm in. There's just something about the presentation.
You're not down
in menudo with the fucking.
What if the honeycomb didn't have all the soup and it was just a piece of honeycomb?
I would not eat it at all. Because I'm also not a waffle person. Maybe that's what it is.
What if we deep fried it?
I actually just don't like waffles, and maybe that's the issue.
You don't like waffles?
But you like honey.
I don't care for waffles. I don't care for pancakes are what bastards make. And then waffles are somebody trying to fancy up what bastards make. And so maybe that's why I don't like tripes.
See, pancakes, you know what fucks up pancakes? And we're going to fucking take a break after this because
we're running last word, Doc. Because
now we're getting all fucking hot.
Last word, Ryan.
We're getting that, I'm getting that neck thing.
I love pancakes.
We're not meant to be served in fucking stacks. Because it's like, oh, I'm hungry. I want this stack of pancakes. But by the time you get like a quarter of the way through, you've eaten two whole pancakes, but you have a six stack, and then it's just waste, and like the syrup is fucking like a plague ripping through a densely populated city, and eventually shit don't look right, it's all too heavy, or it's too sweet, and it's weird. You should have one big pancake, you get to eat however much of it you want, and put shit on however much of it you want, and then you fucking say fuck it to the rest if you can't eat all of it. It's never just this like monumental fucking feet put in your face next to all the other shit you gotta eat.
Hey, let's come back to me and all you can eat pancakes.
How's Denny's gonna make their money?
Pancakes and stacks of pancakes right before we quit, and I wanted to remind you. I think I told you that was not a complaint.
It was a constructive criticism of how to properly present pancakes to people.
Nah, so you complained about pancakes.
I just want to give John mad props for remembering what we were talking about. That's pretty good.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you. Also, I just wanted to remind you about the time. I think I've told some of you about the time. I went to IHOP trying to get all-you-can-eat pancakes. Does this sound familiar to anyone?
No.
Okay. So this is back when I was bike racing, and I had done like 130 miles that day on the bike. I got the smallest meal on the way home. My girlfriend and I had like we're just trying to figure out a place to eat, and you know there was traffic on the way back from the race. So we didn't get back to the Bay Area till almost midnight, and we went to IHOP, and I was like, I'll take the all-you-can-eat pancakes. I had burnt maybe 20,000 calories that day. He goes, I am so sorry to tell you, that is computerized, and I can no longer sell you all-you-can-eat pancakes. It stopped like 10 minutes ago.
Son of a bitch.
I was like, fuck. And he goes, I mean, like, realistically, like, how many pancakes were you going to eat? I was like, I was going to eat, like, 14 pancakes. He goes, no, you weren't. I was like, I was going to eat 14 pancakes. He goes, well, dude, if you can eat 14 pancakes, it's on me. Not only is it on me, I'm going to put your face on our menu. I was like, well, let's stack them up.
And also, like, does he own the franchise? What do you mean he's going to put your face
he's
on the menu?
He's
going to
put a picture on the
okay.
menu.
Okay. I called bullshit on that guy.
So he goes, all right, so how many do you want at a time? I was like, oh, like, you know, three or four, you know, whatever works, three or four. He goes, okay. I was like, oh, wait, hold on, before you go away, I still get the eggs and bacon, right? He goes, what? Yeah, I guess. But I did eat my 14 pancakes. He did not take my picture and put it on the menu.
Yeah, I call bullshit on that.
I call that
early
that
on.
Is, yeah,
but he said it. He also
saying some shit so that he could.
But he did. He
did. You on?
He covered the entire meal, which was kind of dope. That's cool. I paid nothing. I mean, I left.
Well, that's the most important part. Your I left face it. On the menu, man. I don't care about but that. You say that the meal is on me, and then you're like, "Well, here's your bill after you ate 14 pancakes."
He covered the whole thing. Like
four fucking servings of individual pancakes, so it's like $25.
Pleasant eggs and bacon. And I tip, and I still tip. Of course, tip the waiter because you do. You do what you do. Yeah, I that was just in the back of my mind. Well, like the entire time we were on break, because I was also like digging around looking for snacks right after eating, like literally after eating that. We had some Loco Moco that Ryan made, and it was dope.
Oh, it was so dope. Good.
And then
so
I good. Literally put my like rinsed my plate off, turned off the faucet, and then opened the cabinet looking for snacks. And I don't know what, there's something wrong with me.
Now, we have very exciting news because during the break, one Hellcat arrived.
Just scratched her way through the door.
There she is.
Hellcat
She's
has arrived.
Back.
I walked in.
Would you like to tell us what you were doing while we were sitting here?
Cracking those nuts.
What were you doing earlier?
I was watching the Nutcracker.
Nice. Where did that happen?
In San Francisco at the Opera House.
Nice. Yep. And the Rat King did or did not win this
he
time?
He didn't win. In San Francisco, they do something that I haven't seen before. And the Rat King dies in a giant mousetrap. And I liked that.
That's pretty cool.
So there's variations. I've never seen the Nutcracker.
Yeah, so it's
Don't
all the same music, but then different choreographers and like ballet houses do it all differently.
You know, because the music's been around for fucking 400 years.
Yeah, you gotta start switching it up. Otherwise, people start going insane.
No. The dialogue's the best.
The
dialogue.
Oh, it's got, there's so much good dialogue in the Nutcracker.
Witty, they're witty.
There's
just so many, we were laughing because, I mean, the first, like, half hour is this lame Christmas party with a bunch of fucking little kids.
Yeah, and fuck,
and
who,
no,
nobody
like,
wants to
actual
watch that.
Nothing's happening. About, like, they're not a point shoe in sight for the first half hour, and that's what I'm there for, so what's even happening? But just so many sweeping arms. Lots of gesturing.
Yeah.
I was
music.
Bored.
Like now you've seen it.
Okay. Just watching people just.
You've seen it before, though, right? I mean, this is the way
Scott
it goes.
Green.
You were in
I was in it.
Wow.
Was it?
Were there sweeping arms for the first half hour when you were in it?
Yeah. I mean, it was backstage.
That,
so
and that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
that's what that show is.
But I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm there for, like, give me some fucking spins and some goddamn jumps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like a little kid in the best of circumstances.
They've been in quarantine.
Which on stage in the Nutcracker is probably the best of circumstances.
That's true. But they've been in quarantine. Their legs are weak.
No. That wasn't the best. They fucking killed it.
Okay. With the arm movements.
The Sugar Plum Fairy did her fucking thing.
Yeah.
Nice. She wasn't messing around.
They're all, help me.
Help me.
I can't use my legs or my mouth. So it's just hand gestures.
I've been zooming.
Untrue. There was this really great moment where the Ice Queen was holding on to the Ice King. And spinning, and then he picked her up, and then he let her down on one toe. I mean, one foot of toes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other leg was all up, and he was holding her, and then he backed away.
And she just stayed
and
there,
And she just
frozen.
Fucking stayed there.
See, that's
And not
legend.
Only did she just stay there, then she, like, went into some spins
yeah.
just from there.
Yeah,
amazing.
These motherfuckers are crazy, these ballet motherfuckers.
And that's when the
crazy.
Guy behind us goes, yes!
Yes, queen!
Sorry, that was really loud.
Did he at least go, yes, Ice Queen?
No.
That's what he should have done.
No, he did not.
Yes, Ice
yes
Queen!
Yes!
Somewhere in between
Somewhere
those
between.
Two.
We didn't know. But he was very enthusiastic and very supportive. Also
yes.
being supportive... I've taken off my coat.
You're not going
I was
nowhere.
Gonna leave.
You're not going nowhere.
I gave you that.
You did.
But then the
but
music,
then, I don't
the
know,
music
started,
started playing.
I don't know. I'm just like I'm a fucking sucker to fucking energy, and here
it's
I am. And fucking Hellcat is here again, and that excites me. Wearing your holiday sweater.
Yep.
Your Nutcracker sweater. You wear.
You know, I was trying to be a little festive, but then Taylor showed up in a suit.
Hmm.
Which is also and festive. A nice
vest. So festive. Much more festive. Nice. A sweater vest.
I mean, at the holiday party, she did wear a tree skirt.
Which looked, and amazing. Looked spectacular.
Fucking amazing. I was like, there's something a little bit biking about it, and it's cool.
What did it look? It looked like an actual, a regular piece of clothing. What is that piece of clothing called?
Shawl?
A shawl?
But it was an actual tree skirt.
And it
an
looked great. Tree skirt. It great. Looked great.
Yeah, it was fucking
yeah.
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like she showed up, Merry Christmas, motherfuckers, I'm here.
And
like,
I okay. won, and I'm out.
Yep.
You filthy yeah. animals.
Except then she stayed for a very long time.
Yeah, yeah. like yeah. later than me, I think.
Yeah.
I think, don't even remember. You know who stayed the latest?
Not you, because you were asleep.
You both went to sleep.
Who yeah. stayed the latest? You
went to sleep before me.
Toosie.
Well, because she also was one of the last people to show up.
True that.
I was just like, I looked around, and like, these are crusted people. I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed crashing the Christmas party.
Yeah.
I love crashing other Christmas parties.
Especially when you know a lot of people. It's helpful.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. And everybody's dressed up really nice. And the Christmas party I went to, I was just like wearing a hoodie.
Yeah.
And so it was also like I felt like the cool guy arrived. Because like everybody's dressed up like they got to be dressed up. And I just roll in a hoodie. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm the cool guy.
I don't follow these rules.
I don't give a shit. You know, like, I'm the new fuck kid in school.
No one here can fire me. I can do what the fuck
you I want. You know what I mean? What's hey, Aaron, let's sing some Rent real quick. Let's win this party.
That right. happened.
Nice.
Yeah, like I show up like a dirtbag.
I tried to go to bed early like 3 times, and then I was literally the last person awake in the house.
That's not surprising.
I'm just a grown-ass dirtbag, sorry.
Baby.
That was a little late, but you know.
My name is Jan, I'm a dirtbag, baby.
And then I woke up and went to work the next morning.
The way we do it.
It was great.
To work
this is how we do it.
Oh, so you worked on Saturday.
I work on Saturdays.
Thank
that's
you.
The way it is.
That's just the way it is.
Hey.
Ryan and I are apparently just singing over here.
Some people just gotta work.
That's a singing corner.
So, let's, do you mind if I change yes. gears to a,
no.
a mental health setting? Today I had my very first thing. What's it called?
Therapy.
Yeah. Therapy yeah, I did session. That. Where they were kind of trying to figure out what my ish was. Mm-hmm.
You could also think of it as they're just trying to get to know you.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that too.
Intro.
but realistically, it was a hard dive into what's causing some issues here. And If you've never done it, it's very uncomfortable. But also, afterwards you feel better. Just mm-hmm. the fact that you've spoken about it.
I think you just summarized therapy.
Yeah. yeah. Okay. I'm doing that for the people who are scared of it, like I was. Okay. I was scared of it for 20 years.
No, I wasn't saying that to be mean. Okay. I was saying you just accurately summarized therapy. It's uncomfortable, and then you feel better after.
Look, I've been fighting this for 20 years. I've been fighting it for 20 years.
We all did.
Yeah. In any case, what I thought was hilarious, well, I thought was funny, was I was doing my best to not just answer the quick way that would bring me some laughter and joy in myself, and I was...
You were really doing it.
I was putting in the work, yeah. if you will.
Uh-huh.
That's what they say.
But in the end, when I was getting feedback on how the session went, the therapist was like, well, so, you know, on paper, you seem fine. You're not a danger to yourself. Okay, good. And cool. You're not a danger to others. I never thought I was.
I think solid. You're a... I doubt you.
I've been scared.
Yeah.
Oh. I live and, in fear every day.
And you know, like when you answer the questions on the questionnaire beforehand, you know, you don't even seem that more than stressed. But talking to you, you are showing some severe signs. I'm like, wait, hold on a second.
Yeah.
So like it was interesting to me to realize that it's not just a little bit that I thought that I think that I identify in myself, but it is severe.
Say the word, though.
Which one? Oh, anhedonia. Does anyone know what that is?
This person goes, you clearly have severe... What's...
Anhedonia.
Anhedonia.
And I was like, oh, me? Yeah, that makes sense. up because I knew what it meant.
And I go, before this person said this word to you, because I wasn't in the therapy session, but Jan already told me.
That'd be fun.
And I was like,
you
did you know? Well, I mean, like,
were you a therapist? I'm allowed to invite people.
And I was like, did you know what that word meant before this professional said it? And he goes, yes. Yeah. Now, would you actually tell us what that word means?
It means not being able to take the joy in things.
I'd never heard that word before in my life.
Why do you know what that word means?
Because 20 years ago, I researched depression.
Okay, great. But it's not, apparently it's not depression.
Oh, no, I also have severe depression.
Also...
Right, but I'm saying these are separate things.
Yes, an aspect, as far as I understand, an aspect of.
Interesting.
But then also you were hit with another.
Oh, and then.
You also have severe hold
oh,
on.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Lack of self-worth. Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah.
So there's that. So I have two severes. Why was that only two? Figures?
He's got severe aspidonia.
Yeah.
What's that word again?
Anhedonia.
Pneumonia.
And
aspartame.
He's got severe aspartame, which means he's complacent and is susceptible to commercials.
Yeah.
Which is what I've learned from aspartame.
Yep.
Which is how the government keeps us docile. Do you drink a lot of Diet Coke?
Not a lot. I'm gonna like it. Because
that's why you have severe aspartame. No, but I think this is fucking dope. This is gonna be great.
Yeah, and I didn't crack wise once when the opportunities arose so very many times.
I would
just sit there going. She's like, "Is everything all right?" Nope. Just trying not to make a joke. She asked if I had gone through a lot of therapy before. I'm like, no. But I know that this is important.
But I
to be
watch
serious.
Psych.
But I do watch Psych.
Great show.
Did you like the person?
She seemed fine, but she's not going to be my regular.
What up?
Because that is not her role, unfortunately.
She's like the screener?
The screener I talked to last week. This is the clinical identifier. I don't know what that means.
Kind of like an intake counselor.
And then she's like, okay, I'm going to find someone who'll be good.
Who's a specialist in
what
you do. That's
great. That's even better.
And if I'm not happy with them, I get to talk to her again.
I like that. I wonder if that would be... I wonder what it would be like to have her job.
I think you would be spectacular at it. If, you know, you knew all the anhedonias.
I mostly wonder, would that be enjoyable? You don't really get to, get in there with people. You don't get... It seems like maybe you don't get to be we're making progress and you're feeling better. You just get to be well, you got this. Here to go talk to them.
I don't
it's
know
like
if it would be enjoyable.
You know?
Like,
it
to
might
me,
not be.
I feel like
a
car
salesman.
They all have aspirin.
You listen to people's needs and then you figure out what car you want to put them in and then this is the car and then you
but
send them off
to
finance.
Car.
I don't know, though. But your job is listening to people who are really uncomfortable with the first step of getting therapy, so they're on edge the whole time. You're not getting the honest
but it might be
you
think it's
were
enjoyable
very honest,
to make people feel comfortable when they're on edge. That's satisfying.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go, I don't know. I don't know.
You do it all the time. You walk into a house with some entitled motherfuckers that have a overly giant ass house and no air conditioning. They're hot as fuck. They're cranky as hell. You have to listen to their shit.
But it's
try to
different.
Figure out how you're going to fucking deliver this product for them.
The difference
you
is...
You also just try to make your wife laugh when she comes home from work.
Oh, that's true. Now we're talking. But no, it's different because when I go into somebody's house, they're physically uncomfortable. But someone who has actually finally decided that they need they're just I'm unhappy emotionally and I need psychological help. That step is fucking huge to actually have that realization of I need to talk to someone. And so being that person who's you're dealing with a very volatile person emotionally who actually took that step. As opposed to me walking into a living room it's fucking hot as balls in your house. We gotta fix this. It's different.
You're over drafting it. It's the hard stuff is done. Now they've taken a step. You're not measuring that step anymore. You're measuring them and their needs.
The difference is, I see what you're saying, but the difference is with what I do, you're hot as balls in your house. This person took a very volatile step. And if I don't answer every fucking question correctly, and if I don't deal with them correctly, they may not pursue it any further than this.
Right. The vulnerability of someone in that...
Like, this is a person emotionally fucking vulnerable as opposed to... Opposed to someone who's just fucking hot in their house. It's different.
I would say the distinction actually is you're not supposed to get that involved. You're not supposed to make someone laugh. You're not supposed to fulfill anything. You're supposed to be like a blank. You're supposed to be a mirror.
So you're
not supposed to really invest anything because that's going to cloud your judgment and the feedback.
You're supposed
to be very, very objective, which is interesting because I think a lot of people go into that expecting to find, I'm not saying you, Jan, but just in general, like that light, that friend, that counselor, that buddy, that like guiding person, and that's really not what it is. It's supposed to be someone who helps you kind of map out your own treatment plan and just guide you along. It's like, stay away from this, stay away from that. Hello, how are you today? Good.
Well, I think it'd be interesting that it's not, you're not the person that's seeing someone regularly.
That's true.
You know.
I will also say that a lot of therapists end up clouding that, though, because a lot of therapists fuck their patients.
What?
You're alone in a room talking about the most intimate things. Hmm. And so this connection naturally builds, and that actually is not helpful. You have
to really you're not just watching a bunch of porn?
That is a solid follow-up question. I know, but a lot of... especially there, because a lot of the therapists who focus specifically on intimacy issues related to like sexual intimacy, they will get involved with their patients. Some of these therapists will recommend like you need a sex therapist. Let's bring someone else in the room who's going to help you. And so then it's like you're just fabricating a threesome, and then it just happens.
Weird.
Interesting.
Again, I question how much of this is porn you've watched.
No, this is psych classes. These are therapists who told me this. Like, yeah, sometimes you know. People fuck their patients. And I always wanted to be like, did you fuck your patients? Because you seem to be thinking, like, speaking from, like, experience. Like, you can't ask that as a student.
Dr. Freud.
But then a lot of people also over-romanticize it. Like, what do the dreams mean? Tell me, like, I was in a cave and there was seaweed. And, like, does that represent me?
No, you went to the beach last week.
Yeah. No, but people go into that space thinking that. Some people go into that space thinking that. And so then when someone they believe... to be like the voice says it, the voice of authority. They're like, know, you have all the answers. Like, no, there's just some motherfucker who took some extra classes, more classes than you did in college.
On who knows subject. How and, to ask and leading questions exactly, to make
exactly,
you talk.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like Perry Mason plus
Columbo.
Horniness plus Columbo plus intimacy. And they're like,
we should write that TV show.
That's the pilot.
Perry Mason plus
plus
sex therapist.
Plus ecstasy plus Columbo.
So how much psychology did you study?
A lot. I started, I actually was certified in motivational interviewing, which is not therapy, I want to be clear, but is a based on the premise of how you interact with someone to get them to like work with you for behavior change. So it's about addressing like what are their anxieties or insecurities about something. So motivational.
Oh,
it's
cool.
In the title, motivational interviewing.
That's pretty cool.
That's a cool job title,
but,
too.
But I will say this, my dad is a clinical social worker, and he would come home and be like, these motherfuckers who complain about the most bullshit stuff, well, for him was the hardest part. Dealing with people who had like serious trauma and like were suicidal was, I think, easier. I'm oversimplifying. For him, than with like, oh, you know, my neighbor, she's a bitch, you know. She wanted to, she told us to trim our tree, and we're not going to trim that tree, blah, blah, blah. And
well, that sounds like bullshit.
I'm on it.
Yeah, but that was his distinction. And like, he's like, that's what seemed to burn him out was like this daily onslaught of like, well, you know,
the
Judy
court mandate.
Yeah. Judy at work's a fucking hoe, and she fucked my, you know, like he would come home and say, like, tell me these random, he wouldn't say names. He's like, but one time he came home and he was like, hey, do you know a girl named so-and-so at school? I was like, yeah. He's like, stay away from her. I was like, why? He's like, I can't tell you, but stay away from that girl. I was like, and I'm like, she's way too young to be your patient. I'm trying to figure out. And I kept pressing him on it. He's like, I'm treating her mother, all right? Just stay away from her. And I was like, okay, all right.
Wow.
That was funny. But one time, somebody called our house
that was funny,
at
but
3
one
in the
time.
Morning and was like, I have a grenade. I'm going to blow myself up right now if you don't talk to me.
Oh.
That was weird.
Did your dad call their bluff?
No, he took their call.
Yeah.
But then he was like, how'd you get my number?
There's a lot of follow-up questions that you asked.
This was a long,
once
this was
you
like,
de-escalated that situation.
Yeah, this was like 93. This was before Google. So he was like, how the fuck?
I mean, if they got their number... Well, let's say that. If they got a grenade, they probably could get the number.
Yeah. There was no grenade, I think. I found that in the end, but that was a threat.
This is really apropos. So keep talking while I pull this up, okay. Because this just happened to me earlier today.
How did you close your session? Or how do you feel now that you had the first session?
A little less stressed about the whole process, because thing that I was afraid of was just doing it. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been avoiding it literally for 20-some-odd years. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when I was younger, there was a lot of... There, you know, I've experienced some crazy shit in my life, and you know, I just fought the idea of therapy because mm-hmm. I was like, I can figure this out on my own, mm-hmm. you know, like a 4-year-old who wants to play with Legos on their own for the first time,
and that's where I was going with the difference between what I do and like that. It's just like someone has gone through an internal struggle of like being brave enough to make this fucking call, as opposed to it takes no bravery of an individual to be like, it's hot as balls in my house. But this is apropos to the, how'd you get my number? I got this text earlier today, and then I did a screen grab, and then I deleted that contact immediately. This is great. This was texted to me earlier today. Mm. Happy holidays, Dr. Green. 400,000K income. Kentucky outpatient FP position with Women's Health. 4-day week and monthly student loan repayment assistance. How's your schedule look to discuss? Allison. I got that text earlier today.
Like 1 week's worth of...
And so I was like, this is amazing. Screen grab. Don't reply, because then all of a sudden this person marries my wife. But... That was my favorite fucking spam text I've ever gotten.
I think if you responded, that's you starting on the path of doing that thing where you pretend you're a doctor, but you're not really, and just, like, see how long you do that.
But then I also have this whole thing of, like, did actual Dr. Green miss out on this? Like, is there a job? Like, but it was just really interesting.
No, that's not a real Dr. Green.
But it's my favorite fucking bad, like, false text I've ever gotten. I love it.
I think you should ask for an advance payment. Be like, yeah, I'll start on Monday, but can I get a check ahead of time or something
like
that? Yeah, like,
how many motherfuckers do I get to cut is what I should text.
I love that T-Mobile has a number that you just forward spam to.
I did not know that.
That's pretty cool.
Forward it to them and be like, yeah, this is fucking spam. They're like, sweet.
And that way when it shows up, it just shows up as possibly spam?
No, it doesn't show up at all. You get a notification saying, like, something was spammy and we blocked it. You can look in this folder for it if you really want to.
I need that T-Mobile number. I have T-Mobile.
One of the highlights of my evening.
Okay.
Was on our way home. I was on a new BART train.
Ooh, nice. Y'all BARTed.
COVID free. Uh-huh.
And a new one.
Like a brand new BART train.
It's fancy.
Ooh. Tell me.
The seats are comfy. And shiny. And
they don't smell like
service. Mm.
There's a big screen that has a map of the bay and all the BART lines and a little dot that shows where you're going.
Oh, that's dope.
And then it has a clock showing the next stop and how long until you get to the next stop. That's pretty cool.
And it's way quieter.
I didn't notice that part.
Well, they're supposed to be.
Yeah, way quieter than as loud as... any other train in the world, like louder than any train.
Well, I still felt like on our way back, I was like, my throat's starting to hurt because I feel like Taylor and I are screaming trying to talk to each other.
Huh.
Yeah.
Because also masks, you know.
Yeah. I think part of the problem with the BART line is that the tracks are part of what's causing all the noise.
I've never been bothered by the noise of the BART trains. Like, that's never something
that
I've ever considered.
So much louder than any other train I've ever been on.
Yeah, but even still, like, you're on fucking mass transit, just fucking deal with it.
That they're gonna make it so the Golden Gate Bridge doesn't make music anymore. And I think that's a sad...
I'm sorry, I don't understand what that means. The Golden Gate Bridge makes music?
So they put some things on the bridge.
Okay. Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Like 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And now whenever it's windy, it makes like a loud humming sound.
No way.
That like people all over San Francisco can hear.
This is new to me. I had no idea.
And they're going to install 12,000 metal clips on the bridge that apparently will stop the vibrations.
I wonder if my sister's company will work on that.
What makes you mad? Stopping the vibration?
They spent money to make it so it would vibrate to a tune, and now they're going to spend more money to buy 12,000 clips.
I don't think they intentionally made it made sound.
So it's always made sound?
No, they put something on there for another reason that then a side effect wasn't made sound.
Weird seismic shit they did, and then now it hums, and now they're going to...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was just like... Like the Golden Gate Bridge just, this Christmas will be. And now they're going to like, fuck I'm going that. Back to Nobody Cali. Likes that.
Oh, that's, Cali. Isn't that Ryan's favorite Christmas song?
It is Ryan's favorite Christmas song.
This Christmas.
Fireside something this, walk around slinging this
together. So you listen to the Quate Christmas?
I don't anymore K-O-I-T. Because it's all fucking boring.
I've been listening to the K-Slay.
What's K-Slay?
It's usually K something else, but at the holidays it's K Slay.
Well, that's rad.
Mm-hmm. Which is nice.
I've just been listening to the old country Christmas playlist on Spotify, is what I've been doing. Because Coit plays the same fucking 20 songs over and over.
Try K Slay, maybe.
Okay. Do you remember the numbers?
It was in the 90s.
I like that.
Maybe a 94-ish.
I love that. Whoa. I graduated in 95, so that seems right up my alley.
And
I'm a high school graduate, no big deal.
Yeah. Good for you, good for you.
I got out of there.
Such a bragger.
I got out of there, you know.
Fucking
when you grew up where I did, that's bragging rights.
Shit.
I didn't have a kid at 16. I graduated high school. I'm a
success you fancy.
Story.
Well,
you're the precursor to the unicorn stature in my community, where you don't have a kid, you graduate at high school, and what was the other thing?
That was it.
You didn't go to jail.
No, that's a new modifier. You didn't go to jail.
No, with me, like where I'm from, it's like you graduated high school and you didn't have a kid at 16.
Graduate. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, no kid, graduate, job, no jail, no dad.
You guys are really winning.
Say no dad.
No dad.
No death.
Oh, I thought I said no dad.
No
I was
death,
like, when?
And then you know your dad.
That's where you lost me. I was right with you, man. We were going to be the kings of the parade.
Right there.
Well, I do believe it is that time.
So if you have some Christmas songs you want us to listen to, or thoughts on any of the other things we said, thoughts on Mexican restaurants for damn sure.
Where's the best Desabrada in the Bay?
Where can I get the best seasick in the Bay?
Yeah, three pass for this fool. Right
and here. Then you know, just send us a little message at 3isthefunniest@gmail.com, or hit us up on the Insta at 3isthefunniest.
That's right.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. We'll talk to you next week.